probably very familiar to you. Romans 14, verse 14. He says, I know and I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Father God, we just come before you today. Lord, I know that your word is alive. It's active. It's able to penetrate our heart. It's good for correction. It's good for reproof to make us right and mature as we serve you, to make us more like Christ than we've ever been before. I pray, Lord, on top of the anointing of the word, that the Spirit of God would have free reign today to take this word and to penetrate our heart with it. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that the worship and the praise broke up the fallow ground of our heart, broke up the hardness, so that when this word goes forth, the seed of the word can penetrate our heart and it can bear fruit and our lives can be changed, not because of what I said, but because of your word. Your word transforms us, makes us into a new image, which that image is like you. So Father, your word says, let him who has ears hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Lord, we're all listening today to hear your Spirit speak to us. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Familiar portion of Scripture. I've entitled this A Distinction of Kingdom Mindsets. And that may be a little bit of a wordy title for you. Maybe you can't wrap your head around it for a second, but a distinction of kingdom mindset. Do you realize that in this world in itself is a kingdom? The Bible says that Satan is the prince and the power of the air. There is a Babylon system, the system in which this world operates numerically and money and stuff like that. There's a mindset that is being permeated or taught to us by Hollywood, by TV, by books, by magazines. Every time you pick up something, you may think it's innocent, and it may be innocent, but in truth, it's trying to teach you something. It's trying to tell you, trying to get you to identify with what's coming over the airwaves or what's coming through your house in the mail. So what I'm saying today is there should be a distinction between the mindset of the world and the mindset of the child of God, because it's a different kingdom. Now, if you don't believe that, read the Gospels. And you'll find that when Jesus was here teaching, he talked a lot about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is this way. The kingdom of God is that way. Remember that time he says, when the disciples are pushing back the little kids and they're saying, hey, he doesn't have time for you. And he rebuked his disciples. He said, you suffer the little children to come unto me. And then what did he end up by saying? For such is the kingdom of God. For such is the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be like little children. We're supposed to be innocent, right? There's an innocence to little children that you love. That's the way with the child of God. There should be an innocence of the ways of the world. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. So we started this series, you know, that Paul's writing. And this, he's writing a letter to this church that actually I don't think he's ever been to, the Church of Rome. A church that came out of a lot of darkness and a lot of idolatry, right? So these Romans are getting saved out of their culture and they're coming together. And Paul writes them a very distinctive letter. And the first part of the book of Romans is very theological. It's very, it's great doctrine. It will tell you who we are and what we should believe and the things like that. But the last half of the book is very applicable. And that's where we're at today. That's where we've been at for a few weeks, is the application of the word that he wrote to the Romans is still applicable to us today. So he started, I like to go back all the way to where chapter 13, where he says, church, it's high time for you to wake up. Today, that's very true. It's very evident for us today that it's high time for our church, not just our church, but the church in the kingdom. That doesn't mean whatever denomination you want to place on it. We're all children of God. Whether you call yourself Catholic, whether you call yourself Pentecost or Baptist, it doesn't matter. God doesn't see you with a big B on your head. Oh, that's one of my Baptist kids. No, no. He sees you as a child of God covered in the blood of Jesus. As long as you've confessed your sins and you confess that Jesus is Lord in your life. So he says it's high time that you awake. And then he goes into chapter 14 and he says there are some things that you need to quit arguing about. Now the end of chapter 13, he says there are some things you need to put off and there's some things you need to put on. Don't make a provision for your flesh. In other words, Christians, there are some things that ought not be in our life. And if you need to know that list, make this note. Galatians chapter 5 will tell you the works of the flesh. But it goes on in verse 22 to tell you what the works of the Spirit are. Now, I think this is really good. You know, when you get sick, you put that thermometer in your mouth and you see, let's see what's going on. Oh, I got 101 fever. What's that say? I'm sick, right? When I run a fever, I'm sick. Well, this is a great way to put a spiritual thermometer in your mouth. Because you need to look at this chapter 5 of the book of Galatians and say, honestly to yourself, which list describes me better? Am I walking more in the walk of the flesh, or more the things of the flesh in my life? Or do I identify more with the fruits of the Spirit? If you find yourself in the first list, the works of the flesh, don't beat yourself up. Don't get mad at yourself and say, I'm such a terrible person. Repent. You see, when most people hear the word repenting, they think that is getting mad at yourself. That is beating yourself over the back. That is saying, oh, I'm such a terrible person. No. Repentance is a very positive thing. Repentance means I'm changing direction. I'm no longer going to go in this direction. I'm turning the cat around and I'm going to go in this direction. I'm going to follow Jesus. And can I say this? Fruit, we just planted tomatoes. Actually, back in February, planted the seeds. I'm so happy with myself. And we've got about 30 healthy tomato plants. And now I found yesterday, we actually have two or three little tomatoes forming. Glory to God. It's working. You know what? I can't make that tomato plant bear fruit. But if I give it sunlight and water, it bears fruit on its own. You can't make yourself bear fruit, but if you stay in the presence of the God and you apply the Word of God, fruit will appear in your life. So you don't get mad at yourself when you see that I'm not doing things right. You just come back to the cross. You say, God, I'm doing something wrong. I need more help here. I need more grace. I need you to help me to live a purer life. So we got to change the way we're thinking. So he goes on and he says, it gets a little bit better than this. Paul says, in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with any food. But if I'm with other people, I may choose not to eat that way. Now, I know there are those of you in this crowd that have lived in Louisiana, been to Louisiana, and you will eat crawdads. And you think they're good. I think they're worms. And I'm not eating worms. I don't care if you deep fry them. I'm not pulling the head of anything off and sucking the stuff out of it. No, thank you. But is it clean? According to the scripture, it is. Now, Treva and I have a son that believes that we're supposed to walk under the law. And he knows it's not for salvation. But he says, I just believe that we live a cleaner life. I believe that this will help me in my Christian life. So what does that mean? He doesn't keep all the law, I can guarantee you. But he doesn't eat pork anymore. Well, I love bacon. I mean, you wrap my shoe in bacon and I'll take a bite. I mean, it's just, whew, that's good stuff. But when he's there, we had to cook turkey bacon. Have you ever ate turkey bacon? It's like eating styrofoam is what it is. It's gross in my opinion. I love the country ham myself, bacon. Why do we do that? Because of him. I'll give you another illustration. Treva grew up in a household where her mom and dad did not believe that women should wear anything but skirts. She wore dresses all of her life. Well, when we got married, she wore dresses for the first 3 years. And then one day, I got tired of it. And I thought, so I just brought her home a present. I said, I got you something today. And she said, what'd you get me? And I gave it to her. And it was a pair of blue jeans. Now, I didn't get those blue jeans out of the men's department. I got them out of the ladies' department. It was not men's clothing. It was women's clothing. It was women's blue jeans. Well, Treva started wearing them and fell in love with them. And today, it's hard to find a skirt in Treva's closet because all you find is pants. However, we got married in 81. This happened about 3 years later. And I told her, I said, Treva, honestly, sometimes these are more decent than a dress. When we're horseback riding, I don't like to see you try to do that in a dress. You know, if we're going to do something, there's just certain times when blue jeans are more appropriate. So I didn't realize she was going to fall in love with them that much. But she did not wear them in front of her parents for 12 years. Now you may think, oh, she was ashamed. No. See, we had no... There was not an ounce of us that had any conviction about a woman wearing blue jeans. That was her mom and dad's conviction. So why did we do that? Respect. Now I know that may seem different to you, but we respected her mom and dad's position on this. So for 12 years, she wore dresses when we were together. And I'm sure some of you are scratching your head saying, why 12 years? Why did all of a sudden you decide to disrespect them after 12 years? No, they moved to Murray. And Treva didn't have enough dress. No. They were getting older and he was very ill. And they were moving to Murray so we could take care of them. And so Treva had to sit down and tell them, say, Mom and Dad, I just want you to know, when you move to Murray, I want you to know in Murray I wear pants. And her dad said, we knew that. We ain't stupid. We saw you sinning. No, he didn't say that at all. But do you understand the concept? There are some things that you may have total liberty to do, but it's wrong if you do it if it makes someone else to stumble. If it makes somebody else stumble in their faith, it's wrong. And see, we have a bit of a problem with this in the American church because we teethe on independence, right? I'm my own man. I can do what I want. No, really you can't in the kingdom. You got it? You remember the story, am I my brother's keeper? Who was that asked to? Cain, after he killed Abel, right? And God asked him, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Well, the truth of the matter is yes, you are. Yes, you are. We're in this thing together. You need me. I need you. We need each other. Can I say this? We need our Baptist brethren. We need our Catholic brethren. Let's not divide. Let's come together. Let's love Jesus with our differences. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know, I think in the Catholics that baptize babies, they sprinkle them. Lutherans do that, don't they? Lutherans sprinkle. Do you know what? That's not a whole lot different than what we do. We dedicate babies. The only thing we do different is we don't shoot them in the face with a little water. But it's the same, basically it's the same principle. But how much that has divided us. Shame on us. Come together. Do you love Jesus? Do you know it's said that we agree on 97% of the word? But the church decides to argue over 3% rather than agree on the 97%. That's really true. So it may be permissible, but what's it going to do to your testimony? What's it going to do to your brother? Don't let your only focus be on keeping the rules. Matthew 23:23 says, "What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you're careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes." Now, can I just say, a lot of people think that Jesus never taught on tithing. Right there, what did he say? You should tithe. He was not teaching against the tithe. He's saying, you should do that. Yes, but do not neglect the most important thing. Don't neglect the important things. Tithing is not as important as loving. Oh, that should have got an amen all across the table. But it didn't. Remember when they came to Jesus? He said, what's the most important law? Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two laws hang all the words of the prophet and all the laws. Tithing, is it important? Yes, it is. Is it more important than loving? No, it's not. Is it important that you keep the rules? Yes. Live a clean life. Is it more important than loving people? No, sir. Let's keep our focus. Am I making sense? Different mindsets. The world would say, no, you live your life the way pleases you. No, that's not what Jesus taught. Excuse me. I will be held accountable if someone stumbles under my watch, if I caused it. Mark 9:42 says, but if you caused one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone hung around your neck. I'm reading out of the NLT. I know here I think it's got an NIV, so it reads just a little different. We are accountable to help each other, to encourage each other, to walk faithful to the Lord. The number one rule in the kingdom of God is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this, and now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these, according to Pentecostals, is faith. Right? Oh, it is too. Come on, be honest with me. Speaking in tongues. Yes, glory to God. There ain't nothing more holy than that. Come on. Sometimes the walk that we walk is not the same as the Word of God. The greatest of these, according to Pentecostals, you gotta have faith. But it's not according to the Word. We need to be Word-based. The greatest, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. How you walking? How you doing in your love walk? In Luke chapter 10, Verse 25 through 37, it says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. I love it when people tried to test him, thinking they're dealing with an average guy. I see, I'm a little smarter than Jesus. I'll just test him on something. Buddy, they always got shot down when they tried to test Jesus. You know why? Because he could read their heart. He knew what they were thinking, not only what they were saying. He said, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, you've answered correctly. Do this and you'll live. But he wanted to justify himself. Oh my, we always get in trouble when we try to justify ourselves. Do we not? Am I the only one that's done this before? So he asked Jesus, well, just who is my neighbor? Good question. Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And when it says going down, it means going down. Jericho was at like almost sea level. But at the start, it was really high. So this was a place that was known for people to get robbed. I mean, bad people hung out on this road. But it literally dropped off, I think, several hundred feet, if not thousand. It says, and he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. I've just got to tell this joke. This just reminded me. This genie popped out of the bottle one time and said, I'll give you whatever you ask. But whatever you ask, I'm going to give your mother-in-law twice that much. And the man thought about it and he said, I want you to beat me half to death. Bad joke for a preacher, I know, but it's... I loved my mother-in-law. Hail Mary, Father of Lord. It says they stripped him and beat him half to death. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, he came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. I like King James, it says compassion. He says he went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. But he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. And look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hand of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. The priest and the Levite were walking in the law because the law said you can't do that. You can't touch blood and you can't deal with that. So they were walking under the law. The Samaritan, who were known as half-breeds by the Jews and were very looked down upon, was the one that Jesus said, look at this guy. How many times have we, as the body of Christ, tried to walk in the law, but we missed the royal commandment of God to love? You get it? It's a different mindset. Do you know Jesus was always being attacked by the religious people? By the Pharisees. And you know why? Because he was breaking their law. He was doing good on the Sabbath. You can't heal a man on the Sabbath. You're breaking the law. You know, I think something's probably wrong with the law when you can't do good on the law on that day. Something's probably wrong. Jesus taught him, tried to teach him, you're keeping the law, but you're missing the spirit of the law. You're missing the whole reason it's
was written. I think we do that sometimes. I think sometimes as the body of Christ, we walk in this air of religion. But we miss that Christ has come to change us. You know, one of the most insulting things you can tell me is not that, hey, I didn't enjoy your sermon, but it's when someone calls me religious. To me, it just fries me. I'm not religious. I'm not. I love Jesus. And He's changed me. But I'm going to tell you, if you hang out with me on Tuesday, you're going to see the same guy that you see Sunday. The same people. If you take me to a ball game, you just think I'm wild in church. I'm the same guy. I get excited. We were setting off fireworks one time, and I just got excited. I didn't realize I was the butt of every joke out there. They were all laughing. I thought we were just all laughing and having a good time, and I was just acting like a little kid. They wouldn't laugh, but they were laughing at me. It took me a while to figure that out. The Bible says this. He said, "Don't let your good be spoken of as evil." Now, that's a head scratcher to me. But I think what it's teaching is live your life without reproach. Live your life so, you know, if someone come to you and said, "I saw Brother Bud out at the bar Friday night," what would you say? "That wasn't Brother Bud. He may have a twin brother. He may have somebody that looks like him, but I'm going to tell you, that was not Brother Bud. He doesn't go to that bar. He goes, no." You understand what I'm saying? He has lived his life in such a way that you know that's not him. And I think that's what the Word is teaching. You live your life so that when people start something on you, the people that know you would say no. Somebody went to one of our friends one time and they was actually talking about Treva and running her down to them. And this lady said, "I'm going to tell you something. The person you're describing is not the Treva that I have known for 35 years. I don't know who you're describing, but it's not Treva." That was the last time she called. Why? Because someone stood up for the truth. Don't let your good be spoken of as evil. You know, Pentecostals, we have a whole group of people that are scared to death of the Holy Spirit. And I think it's largely because of us. We've let something good be spoken of as evil because of us. I love the Holy Spirit. It's the part of God that's here. He is not strange. He's not weird. He doesn't make you do weird things. He's not to be afraid of. He's to be embraced. Shame on us that we've got a whole part of the body of Christ that says, "I don't want any part to do with that because I don't want to act like those guys. I don't want to be a holy roller. I don't want to be strange." That's a sobering thought that we could turn people away from God. Is it not? I have liberty to speak in tongues when I want to speak in tongues. I have liberty to do a cartwheel if this fat boy can still do one. But there's something that comes above my liberty. Is it going to make some people afraid of our God? Yes, it is. And that's why we contain ourselves sometimes. See, your prayer language is mostly meant for the closet. The only time it's really to come out when we're together is when there's a tongue and interpretation, when God is breaking through wanting to speak. But we took our liberty for many years and we scared people to death. I think it's time the body of Christ starts coming back together. Pentecost, we need to be the example that you don't have to be a nut to be Spirit-filled. Carrie Vine, he calls them cereal Christians. Fruits, flakes, and nuts. And that pretty much describes the Pentecostal church. Fruits, flakes, and nuts. But we don't have to be. You don't have to give up the power of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to give up the presence of the Holy Ghost. You just got to quit being a fruit, flake, and a nut. Is that hard for some of us? It's hard for me. I'm going to tell you. I started like being a little fruity. I just find that pretty satisfying. But when I push people away from Christ, I'm in the wrong. Am I making this verse come alive to you? Don't make people stumble over your liberty. And then he goes on and he says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy." Now, I've thought of this verse a lot because this is the verse that all of us know. And I thought, how can I relate that? And I thought, no one would describe marriage as sex. For marriage is sex. What? That doesn't even make sense. Is sex important in marriage? Yes. But would you describe your marriage just as sex? No. Doesn't make sense. It's just a small part, even though it's an important part. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Does God care about what you eat and drink? Yes, He does. He cares that you're healthy. We're body, soul, and spirit. And God wants to minister to every one of us, every part of us. So God cares about that. But to relate the kingdom as just eating and drinking is to fall really short. In other words, there's a different kingdom. There's a different mindset. There's a different sphere in which we can choose to live. Now, many Christians never step out of the fleshly realm and try to live in the spiritual. Am I making sense? Are you still with me? Am I going long? So, I seem like I lost you. The kingdom is not just eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. Well, righteousness, peace, and joy is something I can't do for me. I can't make myself righteous. I can't make myself peaceful, and I can't make myself joyful. The kingdom of God is not what I can do. It's what He can do for me. See, I was taught to feel it, see it, smell it, touch it, and some things taste it, but not all things. To walk by my senses, to think it through. But in the Spirit of God, we don't get to walk by our five senses. We're walking under a new mindset. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We trust God. We lean not into our own understanding, according to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We don't lean to, how can I figure this out? When I have a decision to make, I still do this. I still make me a list of pros and cons. But in the end, I ask Jesus, give me the wisdom. Because I don't want to just make the best decision upon my five senses. I need the wisdom of God. I'm relying upon You, Jesus. And I have made decisions before that on paper did not look good. But I really felt impressed that this is the way I'm supposed to go. When you walk in the Spirit, if it really is the Holy Spirit, you'll not fail. He'll lead you and He'll guide you. Sometimes I wonder, will we ever make it? Will we ever get there? Will we ever get to the point where we really do walk in this new mindset? The Bible says that we renew our minds through the transforming of the Word of God, right? So we're constantly changing. So to walk in this, we've got to understand the kingdom of God is God's way of thinking. It's God's way of ruling the world. So it's probably going to run contrary to the way you've been taught. That's how I debate a lot of things in my mind. Am I thinking the same way that my ungodly neighbors think? See, if I'm thinking exactly the same thing that the world's thinking, I'm operating in a carnal, fleshly mind. My mind's supposed to be different. It's supposed to operate under a new kingdom, under a new king. So it's going to challenge. You're really quiet on me. Am I making sense? It's going to be a challenge, especially if you haven't been saved really long. You're going to find new territory that does not make you comfortable, because you're going to want to go back to this old way of going by my head. But the Lord is going to challenge you to walk in the Spirit, according to Galatians 5:16. And that's a new area for us. So He says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Philippians 3, 4, and 5 says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuted the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Let the main thing be the main thing. Make sure your priorities are right. Jesus is number one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Right? All these other details of life, God will take care of if we keep Jesus first. And that's the kingdom mentality. It's keep Him first. Keep Him foremost in your mind. So keep the main thing, the main thing. Righteousness, now listen to this. This is good. Righteousness, especially if you've been brought up in the church, righteousness is not defined by your participation or your abstinence. You get it? It's a little deep maybe. In other words, righteousness is not about what I do or don't do. I can't be righteous because I'm doing something. Righteousness is a gift of God. He gives us right. You can't. Isaiah. There was no more godly man on all the earth. He said, my righteousness compared to God is as filthy rags. Where do you think yours comes up as? I can't make myself righteous. I have to accept it. Jesus did it for me. There's a couple of verses, Romans 1:16. Most of you know this. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and then also for the Greek. For in it, in this gospel, is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God has been given to me. It doesn't matter how I feel. You see, when most of us sin, we think we have to go through 2 weeks of beating ourselves up before we can pray again. It's not about you. It's about Him. He has blessed you. Now, should I try? Should I repent? Yes, I should repent. But we get to this place where we're down on ourselves and, oh, I can't even pray anymore. Why can't you pray? Because I looked at pornography. Well, when did you do that? 2 weeks ago. Dear God, you hadn't prayed for 2 weeks. We live like this, guys. I know we do. You can look at me like that if you want to, but I know I'm talking truth. We do something wrong and we beat ourselves up and we don't think we're worthy and we get in the pulpit and say, oh, I'm not worthy to be here. No, you ain't ever been worthy to be here. He's worthy. You're not. He's righteous and He made you righteous. You cannot make yourself righteous. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy, and you can't do it yourself. It's a gift of God. But you have got to change your mindset. We have got to quit calling ourselves sinners saved by grace. We have got to start seeing ourselves as saints of God, made righteous by Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's arrogance. No, it's not arrogance. It's the Word of God. It's His teaching. He wants you to see yourself. My kids don't come begging to me. Oh, Dad, don't hit me, but I need this. They don't come like that. If they know that I've got something they need, they say, Dad, where's it at? Because I need it. I am the Son of God. I don't crawl into the throne room of grace. I go boldly according to Scripture. Why? Because I'm so wonderful? No. Because I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. I've been made righteous. Righteousness, peace. I can't even make myself peaceful. Have you ever tried to make yourself settle down, Eric? Settle down. I can't do it. But there's a verse that says, great peace have they who love thy law. Peace is a commodity of God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. You know when I get peaceful? When I get in His presence. That's when the peace of God comes on me. It's nothing that I said, I'm going to be peaceful today. I'm going to be peaceful today. I am not a peaceful person by nature. I'm a, let's get it done, guys. Let's charge the hill. Let's take Paris, Tennessee for Jesus. Hallelujah. That's my nature. I fell in love with this gal because she was peaceful. And it was something I didn't have. Something I never seen really as an example. But I just knew something about her. She's just peace. And I loved it. But guess what? The longer I walk with Jesus, the more peaceful I get. Because it's a fruit of the Spirit. I can't do it myself. And I can't even make myself joyful. You know, most of us think joy is happiness. Joy is not happiness. To say joy is happiness is not to understand joy. Joy, you can be joyful on the worst day of your life. When all hell has broke loose against you, you can maintain your joy because you know He is in control. I can't make it myself. I can't be joyful. I maybe could be funny. I maybe could make you laugh, but I can't be joyful. I just can't work that up. In His presence is fullness of joy. Two of the things that Jesus prayed for His disciples when He was leaving, He says, my joy give I unto thee. Do you understand Jesus gave us a gift? He says, I want to take this commodity that's in me and give it to my family, my brothers and sisters. I want them to walk in my peace. I want them to walk in my joy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and five more. You can't do this yourself. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not just about a party. It's not about having a good time. It's not about building houses or having a job or doing all those things that we do that take all of our time. The kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I wanted to just make one more comment. He did not say it's with the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy, not with the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost. My life is to be consistently intertwined in the Holy Ghost. That's why if you have not been raised Pentecostal and you're scared of us, I really apologize to you. I don't want to scare anybody away from the baptism, the person of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. You might want to be afraid of me, but don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. You form a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It is Christ in you. It's the Spirit of Christ that lives in you. If you are saved, the Holy Spirit is in you. You got it? If the Holy Spirit is not in you, you are not saved. The Holy Spirit resides. You know, we're taught in kindergarten, we're taught in these little grades that Jesus lives in your heart. No, He doesn't. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. It's the Spirit of Jesus that lives in us. The Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is His name. Don't call Him it. He. He. Form a relationship not with Him, but in Him. It's one thing. We all understand Jesus is in us, or the Holy Spirit is in us. What we don't get taught is now you are in Christ. You're in Christ. There's a new kingdom. There's a new mindset. The kingdom of God is not the same as the kingdom of this world where you work yourself like a dog just to make a living. It's not all about partying and eating and drinking and doing all the things that we do. The kingdom is different. The kingdom of God, which is coming, that we walk in, that we're trying to live in, is righteousness, peace, and joy. Now think about those three things. That sounds pretty good to me. I think I want to be in that kingdom. I want to be in the kingdom that God is over and God is ruling. I want to divorce myself from the kingdom of this world. I just want to walk in His kingdom. You can't change your actions until you change the root. If you change the root system, you'll change the fruit. You get it? Too many of us have tried to change the fruit. We go out there and say, I planted tomatoes, but I wanted apples. You can tie all the apples you want to on my tomato bushes, but you know what it's going to produce? Tomatoes. If you want to change in your life, you got to change the root. Go deep, deep in your heart. Jesus said, you guys look on the outside, but I look on the inside. You messed up? Are you messed up in your thinking? Are you messed up in your life? Have you done things that you're really ashamed of? Let Jesus change your heart. It's a slower change, but it's permanent. See, if you smoke and you don't want to smoke, you can get all the patches that you want to, you can patch yourself up right and left. But until the root is changed, you're going to still be a smoker. I know people that do not smoke, but they're still a smoker. They still have that nicotine fit. Now, smoking is it's a nothing. But what if you're a porn addict? That's a something. Because it'll destroy your life. Well, I'm just going to quit watching that stuff. Now you're going to have to change your root. You got to change the root. What if you got a filthy mouth? Well, I didn't get saved till I was 45 and I was a construction worker and this is the way we talked. And now I'm in church and I can't hardly even greet people because I'm afraid something's going to come out. Change your root. Righteousness is God's gift to you. You need to go to the cross and you say, Jesus, I don't want to talk like that anymore. Will you help me? You know what you just did? You just laid an axe to the root. You can't do it in yourself. How many times have you met people that says, I just can't live for Christ? No, you can't. Let Him live through you. Am I making sense today? The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. We have been trying for years to live in the kingdom like we're living now. We're trying to make it work. Oh, I just got to work this Christianity thing and I'll get it right eventually. No, you won't. You'll never get it right. Walk in the Spirit. You'll not gratify the things of the flesh. Stand with me. I hope you get this today. I hope that's sunk into your heart. Because most every Christian knows this verse. But they know it here. They don't know it here. And it's time we get the Word of God out of our mind and into our hearts. You know, that may look like it's only 12 inches, but actually it's miles. It takes the Word of God a long time sometimes to go from the head to the heart. This word that we're talking about is supposed to be applied to your life. It's not just for knowledge's sake. You maybe can quote that verse just as easily as I can. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, it's righteousness, peace, and joy. You're right. You got it here. Do you have it here? Are you trying to make your Christianity work? Are you working your tail off trying to please Jesus? You're not going to please Him in the flesh. You got to walk in the Spirit. Not with the Spirit, in the Spirit. So when you get up in the morning, you say, Jesus, will you lead and guide me today? Will you be with me? I grew up and I was an extreme hothead. Had a very much of an anger problem. I used to pray, for years, God, take this anger away from me. He never took it away. But one day I noticed that I'm not angry anymore. What happened? I walked in the Spirit long enough that the axe was put to the root. And now the fruit is patience, not anger. You get me? Can we just take a chill pill? Can we just relax a little bit in His presence and quit? Come on, Pentecostals, I'm talking to you. Can we quit trying to make things happen and just trust Jesus? Live Him, live in Him, love Him, serve Him, make Him number one. These things He'll take care of. That ought to, you know, when He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It really is. But we've made it difficult for people because of our rules and regulations. Come on. Can we just relax in the kingdom? I'm not trying to tell you everything goes. Don't you dare hear me say that. There are still many things that Christians ought not do. But it's not my job to point them out to you. The Spirit of God will do that. If you'll walk earnestly with Him, He will show you what He wants you to get rid of. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to know, is there someone here that says, I want to serve this Jesus. I want Him to be the Lord of my life. And I don't really know for sure if I'm in Him, like you said. With just a hand raised, I just want to lead you from your seat I want to lead you in a prayer. Amen. I see your hand. Anyone else? Say, yes, please. Lead me in that prayer. Pray this to yourself. Jesus, I repent of my sin. And I understand I need that righteousness applied to my life. I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I want to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, sister, you're not going to feel it for a while.